And that your citizen's arrest was invalid.
Chess, can you give me the last 2 points again?
Yeah, the point is that I was on publicly owned land on June 24th, 97, when they took me into custody.
Mm-hmm. You're claiming that you were on privately owned land.
I'm going to have to go because of this phone here. And Dan Fite, that he wrote a letter that determined the arrest is invalid, and that he sent that letter to the judge. And those are all the admissions I expect to get out of them for sure, because that's all just fact.
Well, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. The fact is, I got a multinational network. It's all over the country, people with fidgets, and they're going to be just sorry that they didn't take my simple offer.
No, I know that you're going to be inviting me out to dinner soon.
Or anyway, I hope that Shaw is going to be inviting me out to dinner soon once the big settlement comes through, if it ever does. This is a case that I have taken a particular interest in. Michael, I don't know if you know Shaz. He's a interesting, articulate, brilliant person, in fact, who sometimes talks three times the speed that he should because it doesn't always get across. But the facts are, as far as I'm concerned, as he's presented them, he's another example of a victim of the Seaside Company and the Santa Cruz Police Department. It's not just the Seaside Company, but the Police Department and the DA's office essentially all collude to assist the powers that be. And this is not some sort of fantasy conspiracy. This is, in fact, what has happened in this case.
I know, and like in my case, Robert, I like that gray line, you know, issue, and you're on the, it looks like you're conducting business, which I wasn't. My size clearly states tips or donations.
Now, when you have a donation sign in front of some art, you're not conducting business. And I was going to also point out that if you were a Democratic Party hack or a Green Party person or somebody with a petition out there with bumper stickers and books and other items that often you frequently give, you know, you sell. Not, you don't even put donation out there. You put, you sell them, but they're part of a, you know, they're part of a political activity. They don't go after you, and they don't have no right to go after you. That's, and it's hogwash. If you're selling Girl Scout cookies downtown, as I saw a bunch of Girl Scouts doing, they don't go after you. But if you're selling, or even asking for donations for Free Radio Santa Cruz t-shirts, or your caricatures, your artwork, apparently some officers choose to indeed go after you.
I mean, most of the local street musicians, the ones that play really well or, you know, sound good, I draw them and leave it on their guitar inside their guitar case, and they really appreciate it and don't even ask for a tip or donation, but every once in a while one will give me one, and because I like doing it, you know, I like pleasing people, and they seem to appreciate it.
Well, your case is getting some interesting concerns. Here's another phone call.
Hi, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we have you on the air.
Hey, I had one more comment. Hey, you know, because a lot of selective enforcement does go on. Maybe if there's a cool attorney out there listening to this, they could take a pro bono or on contingency and get a class action suit going for selective enforcement.
Great idea. All you attorneys out there who are eager to do a little pro bono action, give a call to us at 427-3772, or off-air you can call me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Anything else, caller?
No. You guys have a good day.
Hey, thank you for calling
you
in.
Too.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Well, easier said than done with attorneys, although, you know, there have been a few who've stepped forward. I know Peter Leeming is taking the case of Dennis Rehm. I seem to have mislaid the tape where Dennis and Peter are talking about the sleeping ban case, but I've talked about it several times on the air. That's the case of the man who lives in his van who has been found guilty of sleeping but has said, I will not do community service, I will not pay a fine. And because the law that you're charging me with is what's called an infraction, in fact, even a non-vehicular infraction, there is no recourse for the court to force me to do either of those things except to sue me civilly. Sort of a strange legal point, but in fact, one that's true under an attorney general's opinion of 1980 in a defense used successfully by homeless activists Robert Flory, Dave Jacobs, and Linda Edwards earlier in the decade when they were out there fighting for the right to sleep. You have something you want to say about that?
The one thing I noticed around town, and they had a front page article in the Centennial about the help wanted signs, which has something to do with homeless, because especially when you're disabled and with two back operations, they won't even look at you. When you go in, put in your application and resume, and you don't have any local person to help you out on the phone or something, that you gotta leave a message at River Street, they won't even call you back, let alone, you know, getting an interview or anything. So to me, I think they ought to ticket the employers with the help wanted signs out in front of the windows for making those not being able to work, that for the ones that do want to work, you know. That's why, part of the reason why we're homeless, because I've been down to several places, Ross's, Office Supply, there by the Ross's. I've been to Salvation Army. They've conveniently lost my resume with my phone number and everything. And as soon as you carry it backpack in, or you tell them you're at River Street, they look the other way, you know, just like won't even bother with you.
I was proposing that there be a public accommodations, actually a fair employment law here in Santa Cruz that prohibits discrimination against people who are homeless. Not that it necessarily would stop, you know, that kind of discrimination, but it might give kind of cause for pause. Similarly, if you're being evicted from a restaurant because they don't like the way you look, if you're being denied some services, I think this should be a basis for punitive sanctions against the employer or against the merchant who does this.
Especially when the signs still up there like Salvation Army, you know, the whole summer. I went back two or three times, the manager, and they always act like they're busy or don't have the time of the day for a homeless person that wants to get off. I'm not on GAU or anything, but I'm waiting on an SSI pending hearing, you know, and seeing how that'll help.
There is this homeless issues task force, which we're hoping will make some fast, strong recommendations to the city council, and do so in such a high-profile manner that it puts real pressure on them to act. They're having, as I've mentioned, several meetings coming up. Tomorrow there's a meeting of the what's called the long-term issues part of the homeless issues task force at 4:30 at Community House. That's out at Coral Street, 115 Coral Street at the Homeless Services Center. People can go to that. Then at noon on Tuesday at the City Manager's Conference Room, which is down at City Hall, there's a meeting of the hot issues, short-term issues, like the sleeping ban. I would say like this public accommodations law, like winter shelter. Maybe the public accommodations law would be considered long-term. I don't know. But, I mean, this is the kind of thing that we need action on, and action fast. It's long overdue.
I even wonder about the ones that are making minimum wage, if they're worried about becoming homeless, what they would do in a situation, you know, if they lost their job or they got a divorce, probably some are going through right now, and they're staying at a friend's house or something, you know, just not to be homeless, you know, or have that homeless image or look or be treated like one. Nothing against gay people, but I feel like we're the last of the discriminating people on the face of the earth that nobody wants to help out.
Well, certainly, as I was saying earlier today, the homeless, the hate-free zone initiative gives an opportunity for different oppressed groups to come together. Mm-hmm. Homeless, gay, black, Hispanic,
anybody,
elderly, disabled, you name it. If you're being targeted for hate, because you are a member of a particular group and that's manifesting itself as either a criminal behavior like an assault or discrimination in employment or discrimination in a public accommodation, hey, that should be a basis for people, you know, coming together in solidarity. And also, I mean, as you say, people are on the edge of getting their asses kicked out of these, of the, you know, slums that we're already living in here. Because landlords have decided that they can, you know, pack a few more students in and jack up the rents. You know, that's what's going on. There's no guarantee against that. There's, you know, Mayor Byers refuses to come out and support rent control. I think Mike Rotkin has. I think maybe Keith Sugar has, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, our mayor, the lame duck mayor, I call her Sleeping Band Byers, won't come out in favor of rent control. I mean, what is she thinking of? I don't know. You know.
I also feel, Robert, that these city codes that keep coming up with, no matter what city you're in, I think it should be voted by us, that we should have a say-so, and they should override it, or, you know, take a long time to put it in, that they should see our side of the point of view.
I'm not quite sure. What are you speaking of, city codes, you said?
You know, like no vendors and all that, you know, no sleeping and all this.
Well, remember that the people who voted...
And then they go through your search bags all over the parks here, and they're going through everybody's bags, backpack or whatever, and that...
Has this happened to you lately?
No, a few people I know, though.
I've heard the same. You know, it's, again, you seem to surrender your rights, and all this, of course, is connected to the drug war, the war against people for this essentially victimless crime of...
You mean the ones that own homes?
I think, you know, the ones who don't, actually.
I know.
Yeah. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and unless I get another call, we are going to, after many announcements and many delays, and I'm glad actually you have those delays because I've appreciated those phone calls, we're going to hear one of my favorite songs. Who knows, it may become my theme song for Bathrobes, Fairs, Broadsides from South Park, which I never watched, by the way. I've never actually watched a South Park show, but I did see the movie, which I enjoyed, and I'm going to share this song with you, which actually was the song I went out on last show. So here we have it.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a cock-sucking, ass-licking Uncle Fucker. You're an Uncle Fucker, yes, it's true. Nobody fucks uncles quite like you.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're the one that fucked your uncle, Uncle Fucker. You don't eat or sleep or mow the lawn. You just fuck your uncle all day long.
What's going on here?
And that's Free Speech Radio. What other radio would you hear that song on? 427-3772 is our call-in studio line, and we have an open line available for those of you who decide you do want to call in. I'm going to turn now to the subject that I was talking about last show. It's the sleeping ban and the issue of the Homeless Issues Task Force. We've had two task force meetings. The sleeping, it's still illegal everywhere and anywhere for almost 95%, or actually more than 95% of homeless people in Santa Cruz. And it's not that I felt that the Homeless Issues Task Force could really do anything about it, but I thought they should certainly come down real clearly on the issue and move right along. If they can't move right along on that issue, I don't know what issue they can move right along on. So I brought it up. Actually, David Silva brought up his very limited initiative, his very moderate initiative at the last Homeless Issues Task Force meeting, which was the initiative states that if you fall asleep and you are in a non-residential, non-beachfront area, non-downtown area, all these areas are still illegal. It could still be illegal to sleep on in if the city council so designates, as they would. But if you are in this very sort of limited corridor, which would include part of Harvey West Industrial Park, commercials zone along Soquel Avenue and along Mission Street, and the industrial zone of the Mission Street extension, you could not be arrested for sleeping, and you could not be arrested for covering up with blankets. I think you have some thoughts on that, Michael.
I had someone tell me that one of the members is trying to come up or have tried about the $5 in your pocket. Gotta have on you at all times.
Who said this?
A friend of mine down at the shelter said that one of the city members was trying to propose that.
No, it's new to me.
Have to have $5
that's not
in the
fly
pocket.
Very far, I'll tell you. Although who knows, given our mayor, you never can tell what's going to happen next. Anyway, this was a proposal which David Silva is putting out as an initiative. That is something he's trying to get 3,900 citizen voters to sign here in the city to put it on the ballot. Now, last time we had a stronger initiative, which essentially allowed people to sleep in that area and in the downtown and in all of Harvey West. And I think we got 3,000 signatures plus some more that were lost. And a lot of public support for basic human rights for homeless people. The problem is, you know, actually getting the thing on the ballot requires a lot of organization, a lot of energy, some money. And to bring the issue to the Homeless Issues Task Force, as David Silva did, was simply to get this group, which supposedly It's got a lot of activists on it, and a lot of people who have already said they're against the sleeping ban, to simply recommend to the city council that this be done. Because once it's recommended to city council, that is, the city council has the power to take this issue up itself, even before there are 3,900 votes gotten by the initiative people who are circulating the petition. And I had thought this is a no-brainer. Yes, people should have a right to sleep in some areas of town that where there are no residences, or where there are very few residences, where there are no businesses in terms of the downtown businesses. There's no beachfront areas. There's no controversy around the beachfront. It's not a big deal, at least for those of us who've been struggling for this for a decade. Might be a big deal for the Downtown Association. Might be a big deal for some neighborhood bigots, as I call them, because that's what it is, bigotry, particularly when you not only say it's illegal to sleep in my neighborhood, but you want it to be illegal to sleep everywhere, completely illegal to sleep in the city, which is apparently the position that the Harvey West Neighborhood Association and the Downtown Neighbors and other such groups are currently taking. Marty Wormhout, the supervisor, takes that position. Thank you, Marty Wormhout. Mayor Byers takes that position. It's a bizarre position to say that it's illegal for people to sleep at night, but it's the position they take. So, but certainly the Homeless Issues Task Force shouldn't be taking that position. They should take the other position. If they don't, it's not the Homeless Issues Task Force. It's the Bigots Issues Task Force, as far as I'm concerned. So what are they going to do? Well, I'm now going to play you the discussion that came out of this resolution. In essence, what they did was they delayed it. Well, it was delayed from the first meeting to the second meeting, and the second meeting, it was delayed to the third meeting. But you see, while they're delaying, people are getting tickets for sleeping. People are afraid to sleep, and most important, people are getting beaten up at night and have to sleep unsafely. This was really shown very vividly. I wrote a flyer today for this hate-free zone initiative. There was this petition drive today, as I may have mentioned. And what I said in this flyer was that there have been more than 20 assaults, beatings with chains, pipes, bottles of homeless people whose crime was sleeping, or in some cases walking in a public area. People have got to have safe places to go. And this is not a matter of, gee, let's find the ideal solution in a couple of years, or gosh, I hope we find a campground that nobody objects to. But here's an emergency, like an earthquake, violence against a group of people, hate crime violence against a group of people. And when I spoke to Mayor Byers on Thursday with Becky Johnson, video journalist, and my co-producer here, she's here in the studio. Becky, what do you think was Catherine Byers' perspective on this whole issue?
The most interesting thing she said was when we talked about year-round shelter for the homeless, which was the one directive that she was interested in. It was the only thing she was interested in listening to was housing for the homeless, and pretty much preempted that she would not support a campground. She would not support a car park. She might support expanding the ISSP. She certainly would support attempts to get the armory to be used year-round. Basically, that she's not on our side is for a campground or a car park.
You know, what she said during this whole farcical merry-go-round goose chase to find so-called revisions of the camping ordinance, the camping ban ordinance, and we were, of course, only looking for modifications of the sleeping ban sections of that ordinance, but she ignored that fact and continued to call it the camping ban ordinance and inflame and frighten the community by talking about changing the entire camping ban ordinance, which I tend to believe may have been responsible for some of the assaults that happened to these homeless people because of her essentially arousing hostility against homeless people. Not so much because she doesn't like homeless people, but because she was not willing to advocate for them and really wanted to see no changes in the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance.
And she's...
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You had something you wanted to say?
It was Catherine's
Looks like you've lost your thought
I've
there.
I lost my thought.
It's okay. What I'm saying here is, what we're going to turn to now is the Homeless Issues Task Force. Actually, before I do that, I mean, I'm kind of throwing in a couple things here, but we did meet with both Catherine Byers and with head of the Citizens Police Review Board, Arnie Leff, last week. And the main reason I met with these two public dignitaries was because I wondered how is it that they can... The whole idea is that there's supposed to be some changes on the Citizens Police Review Board, and I wanted to see those changes. But apparently Catherine Byers doesn't care about those changes, even though she seemed to be very vigorously interested in them at the beginning of this year, the changes that would allow us to really look at how the police treat homeless people. That's an incoming call. I'll continue this discussion after we take it.
Free Radio Santa Cruz here.
Hi, Robert. David Silva here.
Hi, David.
I want to thank you for giving us that piece of literature this morning on hate crimes against the homeless. Although that wasn't very popular at Loudoun Nelson Center, it seemed to get ignored. It really, really did go over well at Holy Cross. And your flyer helped us get a lot more signatures on the Hate Free Zone initiative.
Oh, great.
So thank you very much. And we got a lot of Spanish. I guess that Spanish language helped too. But when they heard that how many hate crimes were against the homeless and so forth, it was just sort of the last straw for a lot of people. And they say, well, let's do something. And so we got a lot of signatures today. And I want to thank you for sticking in there and sticking with it. Because I guess they, you know, homeless probably are the number one target right now.
Well, I may do a flyer or two, but you are doing double duty there, David.
Well, I'm very tired.
Actually.
Anybody has any petitions out there, we'd like you to turn them in. 4 o'clock at the Vets Hall. We have some music for you. I'm going to go set up a table on Pacific Avenue now. We got lots of petition walkers out there from Holy Cross. Holy Cross really came through. So, and Pat's over at the that black church over at the Garfield. I can't remember the name of it. And even Victory Faith at Loudoun Nelson Center was very, very much interested, and they're very, very much concerned with the influx of skinheads and Nazis and the beatings and so forth. So keep up the good work, Robert.
Hey, thank you, David. And
sure.
Again, phone number for people to call?
If they want to volunteer, call 425-4499. You listen to the green message, and then there'll be a hate-free message.
Sounds good.
And leave your name, and we'll get to you, and we'll get some petitions in your hand.
Thank you, sir.
All of you with petitions out there, we'd like you to turn in your old ones and get some new ones at 4 o'clock at the Vets Hall upstairs to room 23.
There will be refreshments.
Thanks.
I mean, I won't be providing them. I'll be drinking them. I hope there'll be refreshments.
I just gave away tons of refreshments at the churches, so I have to go now see about refreshments. Maybe we'll have some punch.
So bring refreshments if you come.
Yeah, bring refreshments, y'all.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Whoa. So, hey, 4 o'clock at the Veterans Hall. If you've got either petitions to turn in around the hate-free crime area or initiative, or if you want to pick some up to do some petition gathering, some signature gathering. Also remind you that even as we speak at the Baglery, there's a Common Action for Effective Change meeting. That's about a conference on how to get together and deal with some of these issues in a strong community way. It's going to be happening October 1st through 3rd. This is a planning action happening 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., a Mumia meeting also at the Baglery. And at 7 p.m. tonight at Loudoun Nelson, the video that looks at police misconduct here in Santa Cruz. Yes, the town that's so sweet. That's at 7 o'clock at the Veterans Hall. So all those things are happening. And we're losing our artist, but hopefully we can meet Gerard Depardieu again. I thank you, Michael Quinn, for being with us. And actually, maybe my producer here can arrange with you to meet tomorrow at some point, because if you want to go down to the city attorney's office mm-hmm. to actually get some action on this. Right. Maybe Scott, give you Scott Graham's number so you and Scott can get together. Let's turn now to... Oh, we actually let him use the bathroom here. This is probably a revolutionary activity. You got to talk the talk and walk the walk, I guess. Last time we played a bit of the Homeless Issues Task Force and... What happened when the sleeping ban came up? It was a sad situation. We had a couple of vocal critics from the merchants and from the downtown neighbors. One guy who didn't know anything about the sleeping ban, he wanted more time to think about it. But the fact of the matter is, almost everybody in that room knew about the sleeping ban, and they didn't do anything about it. This kind of timidity, if it continues on the Homeless Issues Task Force, means it is, in fact, the task farce. And that's the sad thing if it goes on. But here we'll play a little bit of this for you to listen to. And again, phone callers take precedence, so call in if you have any thoughts, Anything you want to add about police misconduct, about your own thoughts about this whole debate? You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, call in number 427-3772.
So there are things that aren't being done around the whole issue. Paul Brundell would tell you if he were here that there is no shelter for 95% of homeless people. Ken can tell you people are being turned away with some regularity, people who are asking to get into shelter. So they face an illegal status. This is an issue that really I see no basis for any kind of temporizing on. You might feel that people shouldn't sleep in the downtown, and that's included in David's resolution. You might feel people shouldn't sleep in neighborhoods, and that's included in David's initiative. You might feel people should not sleep in the residential areas of the industrial park. That's included in David's initiative. He has attempted, working on this issue for a year and a half, to cover as many bases as he can. And people watching this group, this Homeless Issues Task Force, feel this is something Catherine Byers created, appointing her staff person, Don Lane, to essentially draw off activist energy and to essentially persuade those watching that something was being done when she in fact had chosen herself to do nothing about the sleeping ban and to continue to make it illegal and a $54 crime for people to sleep. We have to, those of us who are in this room, if we want to take any issue at all as a sort of a place to start with, to get it out of the way, to say, whatever you do at the city council is your business. And we favor the basic common sense statement that you cannot arrest people for sleeping where they have no legal place to sleep. That just has to be a bottom line. If you can't take that bottom line, you're going to throw that into a subcommittee and say, well, is it long-term, is it short-term, interest-term? This will, I think, send the message out to the community that you're not interested in the issue. I mean, at least that, it sends me that message. So I would encourage you to simply deal with the issue now, to determine whether you think that there's a basic civil right for homeless people to sleep tonight. If you do, vote for this. If you don't, pass it on.
Where would it... I feel personally I need a lot more education. I've attended a lot of meetings, I've listened to a lot of city council meetings around the discussion, I've heard discussion groups around the subject item, and all I've heard is what everybody has to say, but I've not necessarily heard, seen in writing information where this has been dissected, taken apart. There's much more in that concern here. Yes, I agree people need a place to sleep. No, they should not be necessarily fined for sleeping. Maybe there, to some it seems to be a the issue of human rights. I don't want to debate that here. I don't feel comfortable debating that here. And as far as what his, excuse me, I don't remember your name. What David Silva has put together, I am a resident of one of those areas which he's proposing that the camping ban would affect. I mean, yeah, you're talking, you have looked at people can't sleep in the residential area of the Harvey West Park area. However, there's 32 residences there, and they're dispersed throughout the park. So I don't know how you can segregate. I mean, there's two empty lots on either side of me. There's an empty lot, an empty parking lot on the other side of another neighbor.
So listening to Nancy talk about this is like listening to somebody talk about how the golf course would be defaced if 1 acre of the, I don't know, many, many acres were provided for emergency shelter space for a homeless population. Of course they don't want their golf course defaced. She doesn't want her neighborhood sullied with homeless people. And that's her right to have that perspective. She will continue to have that perspective. What's important is that the Homeless Issues Task Force reject that perspective and not spend weeks and weeks and weeks doing so. Simply do so at the beginning. No, people have a right to sleep. We start here, we move forward. If they're not going to move forward from that position, then they aren't moving forward at all.
An industrial building on, I mean, it is really, really a mixed environment. If I were to say where in Santa Cruz City is there an industrial area that is truly more industrialized, it's probably out on Mission Street Extension. You know, there's not as many residences. So I have different point of view, and I don't feel comfortable making any kind of motion or passing anything without looking at how does this impact all of what's being said. I mean, what are the truths and what are the non-truths to what's been said? So I really feel like, although all of, you know, some of you are ready to move on this, I'm not. I want more information. I want to be real, truthful, and concrete. Done.
Just a comment in reaction to what Robert put out that
this is Ken Cole, that our services,
if we make the choice to defer this to this one subcommittee meeting, that this additional process will be viewed by the public as, you know, completely discounting our work. I'd say that there's probably a flip side to that argument, which would be if we vote now, and I would be happy, I'd just say, based on philosophy, I'm against any ordinance that criminalizes people who are poor. That's my personal take on it. I'd be happy to vote tonight on any ordinance that the body wanted to consider the criminal, that I see as criminalizing people for their poverty. However, my concern would be if we have a vote on this before we have any process, real process, although I know this is an agenda item, and some might construe that as addition, as enough process. I think that the flip side of it is that people will say, well, that plank from this body was shoved down the committee's throat by David Silva and Robert Norris, and therefore we're going to discount that plank and we'll go on and pay attention to the other recommendations of the body. I think there's a potential flip side to it.
Some of the tape is hard to hear.
My name is Michelle.
Okay, I'm just trying to take a look at
I had that same concern that
this is
that
Laura
people
Tucker,
would want more information before
person,
they voted on it. And but in expressing that concern to different people, everybody pretty much unanimously felt that if anybody knows about if there's any homeless issue that people know about, it's this one, and that people have studied it, and that the information is out there, and that people are already. And I don't know if this is true for you guys or not, that maybe you already are educated about, you know, you've been, last meeting, you were given the sleeping van ordinance and had time to look at it. And so, you know, it's not like we're just rushing in and not thinking about it ahead of time. On the other hand, there's been a request from Nancy, and probably I'm thinking other people are thinking this way too, of real, truthful, and concrete information. So let's get started with that, because we only have, what, 20 minutes to talk about it, and David has here...
We have a couple minutes to talk about it, we're going to finish our agenda.
Okay. So we might need to move on to next meeting anyway, but I think that really, if people want more information, we need to, because it is an emergency, supply it as soon as possible and get on with it. So that we can, it is something that needs to be not necessarily rushed. I agree that people need all the information, but we need to move on it.
Okay. I'm giving you two hands here. Before I've got the map up, you know, the people could run through,
okay,
plus I'll respond to your wish to speak to them.
Yeah,
so you need,
yeah. Okay, thank you. First of all, I certainly wouldn't want anybody to think that I shoved this down their throat, because it's been the slowest shutting down that's, you can imagine, because it's been 3 years that this has been designed now, and been talked in City Council, and the previous task force talked about what all we've done is we've pruned it down even further, taking into consideration Harvey West and the downtown business area. We already have the downtown neighborhood and all the beach areas and all the residential areas out. What only thing that would be left as safe sleeping zones, and this is where most of the vehicular sleeping is taking place already, so it isn't really much relief for those who don't have are vehicularly housed. For the completely houseless, it gives areas where maybe you can have a longer term targeting. So what you have is you have the industrial park here. You have a corridor of the community commercial to the next industrial park. And then you have a corridor of the community commercial out of town. Of course, you have a lot of Arana Gulch. You have a lot of people who need these safety corridors. And this is where the vehicular housed are sleeping already. So, and it does, when you do look at this area here, you can see the concentrations of streets and you can tell where residential areas are. It would be a real
balkanization of Harvey West to have maybe only a very few streets where there could actually be behaviorally housed people. But if they could be surrounding a park, and in some future time there would be some kind of emergency campground, something that kind of could tend to feed towards each other. And in other words, the whole idea was to support the long-term possibility, or mid-range possibilities, by facing the immediate emergency or the immediate problem that people are criminalized for being homeless. This will give them places where they would not be ticketed. This is all it does. It gives them places where they would not be ticketed. It does not provide services. It's not a social service recommendation at all. It really is strictly a human rights, making this no longer a prohibition, but making it regulated. The capping ordinance is not a regulation as it stands now. It's a prohibition because it doesn't say where. So it's illegal. And we want to get ourselves out of being criminals, so the way we do it is we decide where. And this is the easiest place. Look in the city, anywhere else. Do you think it's going to be anywhere here or here? Do you think it's going to be here? Do you think it's going to be anywhere here or here or here? Anywhere in here? No, this is the only place left where you're going to have... Now, this is the critical area. This is how it was a critical area. But the way it's written, and of course the final designation will be by city council, there will be very little left in Harvey West where there will be particularly housed people. Very, very few left. It'd be mostly around the park. It'd be nice if the edges of the park, instead of being no parking zones, could be places where porta-potties were placed. And there could be, that kind of thing. But whatever. That is future. Right now, I think just the basic essence of telling the city council, we don't want to criminalize people for sleeping. We believe that there are safety zones. We have found them. Because that's all they really want to hear in the first place when they sent this to you. Tell us where these safety zones are. And I think that I don't think you can go much beyond this corridor idea and the industrial park without getting into a lot of political trouble in this town. And that's my case, and I really hope, as far as acting tonight or not acting tonight, on March 23rd, they voted to constitute you guys, and it's taken you this long to get here. A lot of people thought that this was going to happen in February. A lot of people thought that it was going to happen in January. This is, and already we pruned it down from what we thought was going to happen in January. So there are a lot of disappointed people out there, and I think Robert has a point. Anything you don't do will make a statement, however long that lasts, however vital that is. But the problem is, of course, that the statement has been made far too long already. Just far too long already. It's a statement that if you can't make it, if you get evicted, get out of town. Get out of town. We don't care if you have family here. We don't care if you have family here for 25 years. Get out of town. That's what we're saying now with our law. We just have to stop sitting there.
I feel like the general principles of what you're saying I'm very much in agreement with, but I can see you've done a lot more work and a lot more thinking than I have, and I need some more time to review the existing ordinance and talk to the people and try and think about what the best solution is. And it may be I'll end up where you are right now, but my particular process, I'm not ready to make a decision myself yet.
I expect we'll come back to our agenda in some more specific form after our two one-time meetings.
And here you have the chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force unilaterally deciding she's going to table the motion even before it has full discussion. A rather depressing phenomenon chair was Linda LeMaster, for which many of us roundly criticized her later, though we feel that she's new in the position and who knows, maybe her notions will change. A little more, I think, gives you, you get the sense of what happened with the sleeping ban. It was essentially tossed off to the side, even though I'm sure it had a majority of the votes for passage, including the chair, Linda LeMaster. Again, apparently afraid to continue with the issue, even though the issue has been debated ad infinitum in endless forums everywhere, and it's an immediate issue. There are no legal places for people to sleep. If you want to pursue this issue yourself in the subcommittee, it will be meeting again on Tuesday noon at the City Manager's Conference Room at City Hall, 809 Center Street, noon.
To be a 4-star restaurant on a Grey Line bus tour. I want my name to be in neon lights on Broadway threatening to strip itself letter by letter. I want my name on the unknown soldier's tomb, on bathroom walls, and on vitamin C tablets that work miracles, maybe. I want to deposit my name in the bank and collect everyone else's interest. I want my name to be an emergency with fire engines and whooping sirens, and everyone craning their necks to watch. I want my name to be made in Japan. I want my name to be a Halloween costume that everyone takes off. I want my name to be an opening offer and a going out of business sale. I want my name to ride around in a black Cadillac chauffeured by Shakespeare and never have to pay traffic tickets. I want my name to be a video game. I want people to stand in line to see my name ignore them. I want my name to fill her up, to unstop garbage disposals, to get the rings of Saturn off the tub, and to make one cockroach blink. I want my name to fix the phone company so the line's never busy, everyone's always home, and the people who answer are human. I want my name to be unavailable without a prescription. I want my name to be import-exported by the mafia. I want my name to go round the world, bury itself in sand and see visions, skydive, kill sharks, rescue royalty, lead protests, and generally have a blast. I want my name to have fun. Now me, on the other hand, I just want to write. Beautiful. Beautiful, a drunk shouts like a swear word, staggering brutally against passerbys. Watch where you're going, elbows prick at him as he balloons himself over the city, yelling, beautiful, until some dude pulls a knife to defend his right to be ugly and the ambulances pounce. Everyone runs and I'm looking at the fresh blood shining on the street and, beautiful, I whisper like a witch's curse. Beautiful. 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 Agatha Christie died for your sins. The people I see with books on universal issues are always holding the books and talking learnedly to each other. But the people I see actually reading are devouring a murder mystery, desperately. So they won't have to murder their lovers, their boss, their parents, the next awful person they see, their wives, their husbands, their children, their dogs, their cars, themselves.